Hey, 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 welcome to I'm Not a Pharmacist, the podcast hosted by someone like you who is not a pharmacist. Hello, that's me. I'm Jeff Reddick, and I learned to juggle in high school, but I'm still definitely not a pharmacist. We are sponsored by the Pharmacist Society of the State of New York, also known as PISNY, bringing education on pharmacy issues to the consumer. You can watch the show on YouTube and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Episode 2, we're talking about the mail that you get that you probably throw out, but you probably shouldn't do that. Important medical stuff to talk about. A real pharmacist will join me to break down your prescription insurance information, otherwise known as your EOB, or explanation of benefits document. Usually goes right in the trash, honestly. And it's a special birthday episode today, so stick around for the celebration. It's hosted by the people who make American pharmacy so darn expensive. More on that later. Right now, though, it's time for our first segment today, and we always kick off with Drug of Choice. Drug of Choice is your quick-hitting news segment, what's going on in the world of pharmacy right now. First up today, New York's making a stand for contraceptive care. The state health commissioner in New York signed a standing order in March right alongside Governor Kathy Hochul, which guarantees that anyone can go into a pharmacy and secure contraceptive care. No prescription needed for this. And that's covered by insurance or by other means. Now, this is for self-administered contraceptive care. It's not an injectable, but other forms of the drug are covered, like oral pills, vaginal insert, and the patch. Pharmacists are training up in New York, so more and more of them can offer this care without the help of a physician. And they can supply patients with up to a 12-month supply. So new rule for New York, and that's now the law of the land. Next up, we told you last episode on I'm Not a Pharmacist about the Change Healthcare cyber attack, just crippling pharmacies coast to coast. Now, as we tape this one at the end of March, the hack and the problems from it are still ongoing. The independent pharmacists are paying the price. Now, remember, Change Healthcare is what's called a switch company, and they make sure when you get a prescription, your health insurance money gets where it needs to go, like to the pharmacy, for example. But because of the hack, some pharmacists haven't been paid for medications they dispense to you. And at this point, for some of them, it's unpaid for as long as 4 to 5 weeks. And in other cases, some prescriptions go unfilled for patients. Now, Change Healthcare has set up workarounds, but we're told they're hard to use in some cases. They haven't resulted in regular reimbursement to pharmacies. So to help with that, Change and its parent company, Optum, have offered temporary loans for pharmacy assistance, but those have to be paid back. We're still waiting to learn if there's going to be an interest rate on that. But one pharmacist told us he qualified for a loan of, get this, $40. It's a mess, folks, and just one more reason to worry about the corporatization of American pharmacy care. Finally, from drugtopics.com, this story from the Partnership for Safe Medicines. They've issued a new warning about unregulated pharmaceuticals for sale on Etsy. And this is unfortunately real, according to the Partnership for Safe Medicines. They say investigators from their group found a variety of product listings on Etsy to buy items which can be used as ingredients to make prescriptions or make medicines at home or as direct substitutes for medications, which is scary because this is completely unregulated. And yet we all know that some person in a dark corner of our social media friend list or someone who's really up against financial hard times might want to try that. So you should tell people if you can. Keep in mind, this mimics a controlled substance on Etsy, but you should not buy any medication on Etsy. Best to leave selling prescription drugs and consulting on their use to the professionals. And that's Drug of Choice. You're listening to I'm Not a Pharmacist, the podcast hosted by me, Jeff Reddick. Still definitely not a pharmacist, of course. That brings us to our next segment, This is a Pharmacist, where we bring in people like Howie, because he definitely knows what he's talking about. Howie Jacobson owns two pharmacies on Long Island, and he's also known as Howie the Hat, and you can see why. So thanks for joining us, Howie. Your video that promoted the PISNY Midwinter Conference that I saw on YouTube just about put me to shame. So I want to thank you for bringing those skills to the podcast today. Appreciate you being here.
Well, Jeff, I'm definitely a pharmacist first, video personality last.
Maybe second, never last, Howie. Before we get started, I just want to talk to you quickly about that Etsy story that we just talked about, which is very scary. I mean, I don't know if you can believe people are trying to mix their own medications or get them from online. They're skipping the pharmacists. It's alarming.
Jeff, I'm a firm believer in the triangle, the prescriber, the pharmacist, and the patient. And that's how the best healthcare is given. The prescriber prescribes, the pharmacist dispenses to the patient with good advice about the medication, and hopefully the patient takes the medication and gets the benefit of it. All these drugs and instructions how to make medications or compound medications that are available online, as far as I'm concerned, is 99.999% bogus. And they're not regulated by any governmental agencies, which really is a travesty on healthcare.
Yeah, I think that pushes us to 100% bogus for sure. No regulation whatsoever. Well, thanks for that, Howie. Our topic today for people who don't understand pharmacy, we wanted to talk about those booklets, those big books you get in the mail. And we all get them, you know, for our prescription insurance or our health insurance, for example. It's called the Explanation of Benefits. And it's that really thick, like this super thin paper on a really thick booklet with all this information printed. I'll admit to you, I just throw them out, like, or I put them in a file. And I've recently learned I shouldn't do that, thanks to the pharmacists who I work with. But I really wanted to dig more into that for people like me who have done that for years. So can you first tell me, what is the Explanation of Benefits book? Do you, as a pharmacist, you see those, you get those?
Well, as a pharmacist, we really do not get them. And to me, that's really not the best way to for the insurance companies to let their patients and their card members know what benefits are available to them. Because if those books were available to the pharmacist, advice could be given to their patient beforehand, before the doctor prescribes. And this way, the doctor will know which particular drugs might be covered and at what costs for the patient.
So do you run into that often, Howie, where something's being prescribed that's not covered or it's not right?
Right. Well, or very often the term that's used is preferred. There are several drugs in a particular class of medications that are available on the market, yet an insurance company or a prescription benefit management company might have a list of which drug is preferred by that company, which, look, a pharmacist would say the drug that should be preferred is the one that works best for that particular patient. But a lot of times economics comes into it, and the preferred drug is hopefully the one that is costing the patient less, not just making more or saving more for the insurance company or the PBM.
Yeah, what does preferred mean, though? I mean, is that a medical term?
No, it's not a medical term. It's the one that the insurance company or the PBM deems the one that they are going to push.
Is it the difference when it's preferred? How is it the difference between a name brand versus a generic? Is it that simple, or are these materially different medications when we're talking preferred, not preferred?
Well, it's not always as simple as generic versus brand name, because very often deals are made with the brand name manufacturers to keep their drugs preferred, even though they are more expensive in general, based upon other factors like rebates, or some people call them kickbacks. They become the preferred drug in a category. But it could also be a case of various different pharmacologically different drugs in a treatment class. Say for high blood pressure, there are ACE inhibitors, ARBs, beta blockers. Generally, though, when I think of preferred, it's in one class of medication, like a preferred beta blocker. Mm-hmm.
So is this all covered in that Explanation of Benefits book?
In the Explanation of Benefits book, it should have, for the various disease states, which drugs are the preferred drugs, and then a breakdown of what the copays would be if a patient is going to use a preferred drug or one that's not preferred.
You know, when I get a prescription from my doctor, when I go to a pharmacist, I'll tell you point blank, I trust what they say. I'm not really looking at what my benefit is. It's just, okay, you said I get this, I get this. But what is that? What power does reading that book give me? I mean, it's a lot of reading, but what would I earn from looking more deeply into that explanation of benefits, the EOB?
Well, I'd bring that book, if I were the patient, I would bring that book with me to the prescriber. And when the prescriber says, all right, you have high blood pressure and I'm going to order this drug for you, or you're having diabetes and I'm going to order this drug for you. At that point, I'd look in the book and say, excuse me, can you have a look here at this list of drugs? Which one is the one you're prescribing? How is that better or worse than the one that might be the preferred drug or one that might be a lower copay for me?
Is that book going to cover?
I'd let the prescriber explain why he prefers one over the other, or he might say, you know what, your plan pays for this and you don't have to go to any great expense to obtain it. We can start with that and see how it goes.
Would that book cover every single possibility of medications?
Generally, it should. But look, every day new drugs are coming out. Very often doctors prescribe not necessarily on what's tried and true. It could be the last drug salesman that came into the prescriber's office and was touting their particular drug for a particular condition. And the prescriber says, you know what, I'll tell you, I'll give that a try and some of my patients and we'll see how it goes.
What else is in there? I mean, is there some other risk to me or another person not reading that book? Or is it just what drugs cost, what's covered, what's not?
The book covers a lot of things about patient benefits, not only about drugs, usually. And between you and me, I get that book every year. And you know the basket that's under the mail slot that collects all the mail?
Yeah.
My book stays in that basket for an entire year. All the other mail I go through, that book I leave in the basket. And between you and me, I very rarely will even pick it up to look in it.
Why?
I just find it's a little too voluminous. And I've been on that particular plan for a certain amount of time. And look, I'm the pharmacist, so I see the responses that are, come across the transactions when we're processing prescriptions. So I know right away, if it's a family member of mine, what drug is the preferred.
I just want to call out for our listeners here that this is the first time, and I'm not a pharmacist, that we're covering that pharmacists are real people too, and those books are dense, and not everybody reads them. Not even the pharmacist sometimes reads them. Obviously, you have other ways of getting to that info. I don't know, maybe you can use it, Howie, if you can't sleep at 3 in the morning. Then you might read it. why is all of that so complicated? And maybe we're getting into your opinion here, Howie, but you've been doing it for a long time, and I would think your opinion holds some weight. We're still getting paper books in the mail that are, as you said, voluminous with things that are hard to decipher. I mean, why haven't we updated this? Why isn't the pharmacy system updated, or the industry?
Jeff, I'll tell you, we are slowly getting there. As I said, as a card member for my insurance, I do have now an app regarding the prescription benefits. Mm-hmm. I'm online with my insurance coverage, and that might be another reason why I don't really look at the book.
Can you give anybody tips if they're looking at their EOB? They receive their EOB. It's really thick, but where should they look specifically? Can we cut down the amount that people have to read in there?
I would say look just at the benefits portion. And if you are on medications for any condition, just look up the particular drug benefits, see what the co-payments are. And if there's ever any questions, I would always tell a patient of mine, bring in what they sent you. I'll be happy to go over it with you. We can look at the lists together. Sometimes there are even formularies in that book that comes in the mail, which specifically spell out the particular drugs that are going to be covered without issue.
So I was going to ask you that. We can bring that book to a pharmacist. You can decipher it, in other words, Howie.
I'm an expert. Plus, I read. I know how to read English.
That's, you know, 2 for 2 there.
Jeff, I can even read it in Spanish, if necessary.
Look at that. I didn't know.
Hablo español un poquito.
Look at the things you learn when you're a pharmacist. And that's very helpful to know. It feels like when you get these materials, Howie, that come in, again, as you said, I want to reiterate, voluminous materials. It feels like when you get these, you get the emails, you get all the mail, but you never talk to your insurer that, like, nobody's advocating for you. You know, your prescriber might, depending on who they are, you might feel rushed through that process. They write something, you go to the pharmacy, you get a medication. Who's really advocating in the pharmaceutical process for the patient?
Well, as far as I know, very few people advocate for the patients. Being a longtime PISNI member, and I consider myself a fairly active member. I know that as a pharmacist and as an organization, we've advocated not only on our behalf, but usually when we're advocating on the behalf of the pharmacist, we have our patients' best interests at heart. And if I had to pick any group that does advocate on behalf of patients, I would have to say it is pharmacists.
And all the ones that you work with in New York and know.
Yeah, if I don't just mean legislatively or going to Albany and things like that, I mean being a conduit between that book or the publisher of that book and the patient.
So I want to use that as a poor transition into our final segment here. So finally, it is time for Put On My PBM Hat. It's always worth sticking around the YouTube version of the podcast because you get to see this. My role is to put on a ridiculous hat and then act out a scene as a PBM or pharmacy benefit manager. So, Holly, I'm going to get to that. While I put this hat on, would you remind people again, what is a pharmacy benefit manager? What do they do?
A pharmacy benefit manager is a middleman, for lack of a better term. It started out as just a company that did the processing of claims and got paid for each claim, sort of like a Visa or a MasterCard. Mm-hmm. But they have developed into a big, huge conglomeration of vertically integrated companies that have basically taken over the drug distribution business in America.
And it's ridiculous.
Maybe not just America, but over the world.
I'm going to put on a hat befitting of how ridiculous it is. So here we go. Can you see that okay, Howie?
I can see it. Now we're going to have a dueling hat off.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to win because I'm a PBM. I always win, Howie.
Howie the hat versus Jeff with his PBM hat on.
Would you explain this for the people who are listening but not watching? They're listening to the podcast. What is this hat?
Well, it looks a little ridiculous.
It's a birthday hat, Howie.
But it fits you. It is a good fit. What are you, a 7 1/8, a 7 1/2?
It's not bad over the headphones. But this means I am a PBM now, and it is a big day, Howie. It may be worth celebrating for you. It is the 1-year anniversary as of April 1st of New York kicking me out of the Medicaid space. And honestly, they told me to celebrate, but I don't feel like celebrating much. And I imagine you don't too, Howie, because PBMs out of Medicaid has really been, it's not good for New York. I mean, no benefits there that I can see. They kicked out the pharmacy benefit manager, right?
Right, the term benefit. I agree with you, Jeff. What benefit did it do anybody except it's helped some pharmacies actually sustain themselves, and it's only saved the state, I'm not sure how many hundred millions of dollars in Medicaid expense. And it has actually even benefited patients because my pharmacies are in areas where, truth be told, I didn't even realize that we had 10 to 20% of our patients as being covered on Medicaid.
Yeah, our patients, because we used to share them, Howie. They're our patients, right?
Yeah, well, now they're not. Now they're NYRX patients. And not only that, Jeff, Mr. Crazy PBM hat guy. I do believe the state has saved over just this past year at least a couple of hundred million dollars. I don't want to state that as a fact because I don't have the data in front of me. But before we went to NYRX, those were the predicted savings.
I deal in hundreds of billions of dollars a year, Howie. So hundreds of millions, it's chump change. We can differ on that, I guess. Look, I'm about patients. I think it's ridiculous I got kicked out of Medicaid care in New York because I am about patients. Happy anniversary to you, I guess. Whatever. Those patients are really in need, and I'm all about serving need. You understand that?
Well, I think you're about serving the need of your own shareholders.
Still a need. Still a need.
And I would say that your hat is quite vertical.
It's vertically integrated.
I would have to call you basically a vertically integrated monopoly. One of three of the biggest ones. And I know that you've gotten very used to controlling things in the drug distribution sector of healthcare, but
people look at this hat and they just imagine control. This is a controlling hat.
Yeah. Yeah, you have had it under control for at least the last 20 to 30 years. But look, as evidenced in the Medicaid program, I think slowly and hopefully surely, insurance, government, other entities involved in healthcare are going to realize what a bogus operation you are and how little you do add to healthcare. And that's the bottom line.
Here's one thing we can agree on, Howie. I'm sure, is that, you know, despite what you're saying, I mean, the state's not, they're just not set up the way I am. I can run this in 50 states, the territories. I think ultimately New York comes crawling back to me for Medicaid, to bring PBMs back into Medicaid. And don't you agree that would just be better for everybody? I mean, we do it in all these states. We can do it here again. We can come back, right?
Well, I do try and keep up with my reading in the industry. I know you've been kicked out of a few other states and they've been they've been living happily ever after. And I don't see them crawling back to the PBM model. And honestly, I don't see New York crawling back to the PBM model.
Well, I'm going to celebrate with this hat when we do. I'm sure of it. Oh, get that off my head. Goodness. Thank you, Howie Jacobson. Howie Jacobson from Long Island. Pharmacist for decades down there, owns two pharmacies, and we're so glad to have had you on the podcast today. Thanks, Howie.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, that's I'm Not a Pharmacist, episode 2. I'm Not a Pharmacist is a monthly podcast written, researched, and produced by the team at Baker Public Relations of Albany, New York. We are supported by the Pharmacist Society of the State of New York. Find us on YouTube to watch the show and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.